Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Praise God. Amen. Be seated. Sharon?
Share what the Lord just shared.
Many of my people say they lack the strength. Many of my people have broken hearts. Many of my people mourn, but I am saying to you that today I will pour out a spirit of joy. A spirit of joy that will fill your spirits. For haven't I said in my word that the joy of the Lord is your strength? And haven't I said that a broken spirit will dry the bones? I would not have my people to have broken spirits or lack of strength. For in this day, my people need much strength. Mm-hmm. Much strength to face the days that lie ahead. Much strength for the things that you face. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It is not found in other things or other people, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I am pouring out my joy, a spirit of joy, not as you have known before, but a spirit of joy that will go deep down into your soul, into the very marrow of your bones, that will give you strength beyond any human idea of what strength is, to carry you, to bear your burdens, to bear those things that you must in this day. I will strengthen you beyond anything that you have known, but ask and receive. Receive the spirit of joy in the name of Jesus.
Amen. So right now, just take that. If you believe that's a word from the Lord and you judge those things, it lines up with the word and with the character of God, just open yourself up and tell God, God, I receive this. I don't have to understand it. I believe and I receive what you're pouring out to me, a joy, a new strength. Those of you who've been very weary, those of you who've confessed lately, I don't have any energy, I don't have any strength, just receive new strength right now by faith. Believe in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Can you hear me okay? There you go. All right. We're going to have a time of corporate communion right now. And I just walked over with the young couple that's here for the first time, and Joan and Pam and I, we had communion. My wife comes back and says, we're having corporate communion again. I said, oh, yeah, that's right, I know. I'm just a pastor. What do I know? I don't know anything. If you have not received the little corporate communion cups, raise your hand or ushers will come by and give you one. I need another one, two fellows, and some over here. Ron, hey, God bless you. Just keep your hand up and they'll come to you. Communion is a very, very special moment. It's intended to have intimacy between you and God. God gave us these visual elements to look at and to think on, not to rush through it, not to be a ritual. He gave us this unleavened bread. Thank you, Skip. He gave us this cup and this juice to cause us to remember. He knows how quick we are to forget. And Jesus didn't put any limitation on how often you could have communion, because this morning I'm having it twice. How about that? He says, as often as you do it, you get to choose. As often as you do this. Some people take communion every day. Smith Wigglesworth took communion every day. Lived in divine health and believed God for that. So as often as you do this, the only requirement was Jesus said, do this in remembrance. remembrance, yes, because we have a tendency to forget, yes, of me. Now, we're not going to forget the Lord, obviously, but forget what the Lord came for. He came to be our Savior, our Redeemer, our Defender, our Healer, our Provider, our everything. So in communion, we're supposed to meet Him in a special way. We're supposed to see Him and remember, like our first love, our first encounter, how overwhelming it was to realize that Jesus loves me so much that He gave His life, His body, and His blood. Not only to save me, but also to provide healing, because by His stripes we're healed. You know, Jesus just didn't die an instant death. God could have had Jesus die in a moment and the death be over with. But he had Him die a criminal's death. And He committed no sin. He had Him tortured and whipped and beaten. 3 hours hanging on a cross. Why didn't God just let it be done quickly? Because there were other things going on. This being beaten, being whipped with stripes on His back and all over His body. You may have seen the movie The Passion and how horrible that the body of that actor that it looked like. But I think it was much worse than that. Isaiah says that he was beaten and bruised so much so that nobody would even recognize him as a human being. I can't imagine. But all that had a purpose. Everything God does has a purpose. And the purpose of that was that He was taking our punishment. Yes. And the curse that came along with disobedience, the curse of sickness, illness, and disease. God didn't send sickness, illness, and disease to this earth. It came as a result of our disobedience and our sin. And Jesus was taking all of that in His body. And that's why it says, by His stripes. It says in Isaiah, we were healed. And then in Peter, 1 Peter, he says it again, we are healed. One was speaking about eternity. Like salvation was already done before Christ. Before God created the world, the foundation of the world, Christ was slain. I can't understand it. I can't comprehend it, but I believe it. And at the same time, not only was Christ slain before the foundation of the world even began, God brought healing to us because He knew we'd need healing in our bodies. And the healing can come through physical healing here, and also the ultimate healing, obviously, is when you step into heaven. No more sickness, no more tears, no more pain. So as you open this little thing up here and take out the bread, you take a look at it. It's a little wafer, but it's to represent bread without any leaven in it, which would represent sin. Jesus had no sin. He never sinned. Never, not even once. Not even as a little baby. Never sinned. He didn't have the sin nature that we were born with when we were born under Adam. And so Jesus was born without sin, lived without sin for 33 years. But when He went up on the cross, it says He became sin. He took on the sin of the whole world. Even the people who will never believe in Him or never trust in Him, the people who will die and go to hell because they don't have a Savior, Jesus took their sin. He said, well, why do they go to hell? Because they haven't taken Him to be their Savior. Amen. So we look at this and we stand in awe. Jesus gave this element and He said, now take this and remember. As often as you do this, remember me. Jesus is the bread of God. There's no sin in it. He is the food that we need, that we hunger for. So we thank You, God, for the bread, Jesus, the bread of life. And that night He was betrayed, He was showing the disciples this, that we're in transition. He was trying to help them understand things are about to change. The whole world's going to change. Jesus lived under the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. The disciples lived under the Old Covenant. And then Jesus took a cup before his disciples on the night he was betrayed, knowing that tomorrow everything was going to change. He said, "This cup is the new covenant." Meaning the old covenants are obsolete. There's a new covenant. And this new covenant is a blood covenant that cannot be broken. And it's not the blood of goats and bulls or of just a human with sin. This is the blood of God. It's the blood of Jesus that can never be broken. Wow. Yeah, not only does it take away all of our sins, but it brings us into communion with God, that we become sons of God. Not by partaking this, but by being born again. Take a look at that. That juice, that cup represents the new covenant that you had nothing to do with other than believe and receive. If the blood of Jesus had not been poured into this cup, you would have no place with him. You'd have no hope. Blood had to be spilt. And it had to be Jesus' blood. It couldn't have been an angel. It couldn't have been another animal. It had to be him. It had to be sinless blood. And there's only one with sinless blood. Jesus. Lord, we remember. And we stand in awe that you would love us that much. That you would give up your perfect son to save us. Nobody loves us like that, God. We remember and we say thank you. In Jesus' name. Now give God your own thanks. Just praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Thank you, Lord. The new covenant that we're in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me introduce you to a brand new wedding couple. Come up here. These are newlyweds. Yeah. This is Jones. Come on up here, Joan. This is her youngest granddaughter. Yeah. And I looked over here and I saw you this morning. Yeah. I've never met you before. Right. And I said, "Oh, there's the guy that wrote I Only Imagine." There he is. He's right there. Oh, that's really cool. Hey, you'll sign autographs afterwards. Right, yeah. And this is his precious wife that I've known since you were a little tiny girl, when you were born. Yeah. And you used to come to our house and cause all kinds of mischief.
Of course.
She still does.
Still does. Let's just stretch your hand toward them. Let's just bless them. What a precious couple, God. And they chose to be married before you, God, to honor you. And we pray that now they be honored. Yes. And be encouraged. Mm-hmm. And that they flourish. And that you would bless not only their marriage, but their great future ahead, that they would glorify and honor you. Mm-hmm. They'd be loved and received and welcomed wherever they go. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Got to kiss the bride. What a sweetheart. Like one of our grandchildren. Oh, my. Praise God. You got your Bible, go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. You imagine? Can you tell by the platform up here that what the subject is about? And it goes perfectly with the main thing. Today, on this incredible, life-changing subject in my life, since January 1, we've been talking about the love of God and what God intends, how God intends for that to be manifested in our life. And today we're looking at fearless love. Everybody say fearless love. That's where God is taking you and me. That's His goal. He wants to take us to a place called fearless love. And you can actually get there while you're here on this earth. That's God's intention. Last week we had a wonderful lady, Judy Elmore. She came at the perfect time with the perfect message, and she spoke so many wonderful things that I'm still chewing on. One of the things she said that caught my attention that I remind you of, she said, walking in love towards everybody will get the fear out of you faster than anything. Man, I caught that quick. That got my attention. Walking in love, that's what God calls us to do. He said, when you walk in love toward everybody, even people treating you ugly, when you would choose to say, no, I'm going to walk in love through this, it'll get the fear out of you faster than anything. And I've said to you in the last couple of weeks several times, and it's a question that stays before me, especially in a moment when I don't know how to respond, or my flesh wants to react in the old ways. But this question comes back right in my face, and I'm bringing it back to your face, that keep this question with you when in doubt, not knowing what to do. When in doubt, ask yourself, what does love look like in this situation? Before I'm quick to respond, before I'm going to shoot my mouth off and say something that is not love. And then when you wait and ask God, God, what does love look like in this situation? How does love respond to this? And then obey that commandment of love. I told you about the man, the drunk guy that cut us off on the road several weeks ago. I told you about that. And he pulled into the gas station and he got out and he acted very ugly and humiliated me in front of my wife and my grandson. And my wife grabbed my arm and said, don't you get out of this car and everything. Well, I'm glad she did. That was love stopping me from being stupid. Plus the fact, when you get 65 years old, you're not as strong as you thought you were. It would have been even more embarrassing. I get out and bow up to this guy and he whipped the snot out of me. And I come into church with all kinds of bruises and I tell you, this is what love does not act like. Don't do this. So anyway, you got to ask yourself that question. And I thank God that my wife just let this guy say his little words, and then he went on away and annoyed somebody else. You're going to have these challenges here in this life. Look at 1 John 4:18. The scripture is just beautiful with this. There is no fear in love. Everybody say, no fear. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And the word perfect there means mature. Whoever fears is not mature in love. Boy, that got my attention. Because I still got some areas where I fear. I've not matured in love. That word perfect is the Greek word teleo, and it means to bring to the goal or accomplish the purpose, finish in character, nothing lacking. So it's God's goal for us to reach this high place that we can't reach in the flesh. We have to have the help of God to reach this high place of love. I can't do it in me alone. I have to find the grace of God to get this place. Now, when I say the word perfect, don't think flawless in things like that. God never expects perfection of us, but He does expect progress. Jesus is perfect. If you could be perfect, then you wouldn't need Jesus. But He gives you grace so you can reach these places in His victory and reach this place of mature, perfect love. But He knows you got to mature to get there. You mature like going up these steps. It's one step at a time. I'm not there yet, but maybe I'm right here, and I've got to make progress. So to get me to this place, God's going to have to take me on some adventures. Yeah. So, God is invisible. Did you ever notice that? 1 John 4:12 says, God's invisible, but you can see him. You can read this in this scripture. No one has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God dwells in us. He's invisible, and his love is perfected or maturing in us. Or in other words, the evidence that God is really in me is I am maturing in his love. I'm starting to act like him, respond like him, speak like him, think like him. I'm mature, and that's the evidence. You can't see him, but you can see the results. He's there, and he's changing me. He's praise God. He's changing me. Amen. He's maturing me. And whenever this love of God that we have received by faith is in us, and he gives us an opportunity to express the love of God instead of reacting in the flesh, we express the love of God. Whenever that is happening, man, we're fully alive. And God's presence is manifesting. And David described it as, my cup is just running over. It's not hard. So people say, oh, it's hard to live a Christian life. Well, if it's hard, then it's not the Christian life. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You have to find grace. Yes, you have to say no to your flesh. Yes, you have to say no to certain things. And yes, you have to put away childish behavior. But it's not hard because God gives us grace to do it. Now, one of the, you say, 1 John 4:13 says this. We know that we live in him and he's in us because he's given us his spirit. How do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you have God in you? How do you know that you're born again? How do you know that you're really a Christian? God says the answer is you have his spirit in you. Okay, but God's invisible. The spirit's invisible. So how can I tell that I have the Spirit of God really in me? By the fruit. The fruit doesn't grow overnight. Galatians 5 says the fruit. Notice it doesn't say the fruits, plural. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Actually, you could say, if you, for my sake today, let me try to say it this way. There's only one fruit of the Spirit. It's love. Because God is love, so God, his Spirit, will bear the fruit of love in someone who's received love, someone who has been born of love, someone who has the nature of love in them will bear the fruit of love. Someone who hasn't been born of love, they won't bear the fruit. They may bear a counterfeit. So there, you could say love basically has, according to Galatians 5:16, 9 flavors. Joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. But all of that is love. It comes from love. It comes from God. And God is love. So you could say joy is love's strength. You could say peace is love's comfort. Go ahead and put all that up there. Patience is love's endurance. Kindness is love's tenderness. All these things really are love being manifested in 9 different flavors. Thank you for those 3 supports there. Thank you. Appreciate that. But here's the key. I think this is the key that turns, it's like the key you put in your ignition that turns the whole engine on. This is where it begins. 1 John 4:16. And I refer, this is the first scripture I used on love in January, the first Sunday in January. 1 John 4:16 says this. We have come to know and believe love that God has for us. We had to come to know it, first of all. Somebody had to tell us. God had to reveal it to us. We had to come to know that God really loves you. We had to come to know it, but then we had to come to believe it. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to really believe it. And those two things work together. And when they are working together, man, they come in together and they build a strong bond. First you come to know, then you really believe what you know. And when that happens, there's a strong bond. That doesn't happen because you get saved. That's a start. But you know, and you're still coming to believe. You're not fully convinced about everything. You're learning. You know, but you're still not fully believing in everything. And God's trying to get you there. And this love of God is so amazing. There's nothing else like it in the universe that we just keep discovering the love of God, and we're just in awe of that. And God's trying to get us to really believe it. And that's why Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 3, he prayed this prayer. I pray for you, Ephesian Christians, that you get rooted and grounded in the love of God. Rooted and grounded like a tree, that when the winds and the turmoil and the stuff happens in the world and the hurricanes and the tsunamis and the floods come, you're so rooted and you're so grounded. Yeah, that stuff happens, but it's not going to change my mind about God's love for me. I'm rooted and grounded in the love of God. That doesn't happen overnight. That's actually happening right now. Day by day by day by day. I have known Christians. No reason for me to doubt that they weren't saved. Christian people who served in church and they were faithful and loved God, and then a tragedy happened. Blindsided them. I remember a man particularly had twin daughters, and he was a man, he was a believer. He served in the church. He was a deacon. He was this and that, and did everything. Always there, faithful. And then his twin daughters were killed suddenly in an automobile accident. And this man got angry at God. Why did you let it happen? You could have stopped it. You knew it. Why did you let that happen? He got angry at God and blamed God. And there was no talking him out of it. Here was a man that knew about the love of God, but he didn't fully believe it. The devil was able to come along and talk him out of it. Oh no, God doesn't really. If God really loved you, he wouldn't have allowed your daughters to be killed. I'm telling you, it's one thing to know the love of God. It's another thing to believe it. And right now, we're all here and saying, oh, I would never do that. I would never. You don't know what you would do. And that's why the whole process of why we're still here is get rooted and grounded. Studying the love of God is for the rest of your life. You're to be a student of the love of God because it's so deep and so great and so wide. You've got to get rooted and grounded in that. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. You don't know what's going to come into our crazy, wild world we're living in. And you've got to be rooted and grounded in the love of God, or else you won't make it. You'll quit. You'll shake your fist at God one day. Bible says in the last days there are going to be many who fall away from the faith. Well, to fall away from the faith, they had to be in the faith. How'd they fall away? They knew, but they didn't believe. They weren't rooted and grounded. We're all in the process of being persuaded. Either persuaded by God or persuaded by the devil. Paul said he got to this place. He said, I'm persuaded. You can't talk me out of it. I'm already persuaded that I don't care if it's principalities, if it's powers, or if it's death, or if it's torture, or whatever happens in this world, in this life, if it's famine, if gas prices go up, it doesn't matter to me whatsoever. I'm fully persuaded that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate me from the love of God. God loves me. I know that. And there ain't nothing you can do to talk me out of that. I know it. I believe it. I'm rooted and grounded in it, man. So I don't care. The whole world falls apart. God loves me. I don't care what happens in my life. God loves me. I'm His favorite. And that's what Paul said. That's where we got to go. We're in the process of being persuaded. Don't get cocky and think you're there yet. We're in the process. You don't know until you go through stuff. Then you find out how rooted and grounded in love you really are. So the enemy is trying to talk you out of God really loves you. Every day is an opportunity to grow in love. Every day. We don't know what's going to happen before tonight. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God forbid. Bad things happen to good people. We've all had our share of trials. The purpose, after you're born again, you know, the reason God just doesn't snatch you up and take you to heaven, because He's got a purpose and a plan for you here, and He wants your life to be the vehicle that He lives through you to express the love of God to all the people around you. Even when the world's gone crazy. John 13, Jesus gave us a command. This command's given to believers, and this is the same command that Jesus gave His disciples on the night that He gave them communion, and the night He told them, I'm about to go away. In John 13, 34 and 35, He's told them, a new commandment I give to you. You're not living under the Ten Commandments, now you're living under the new commandment. This new commandment is this. I give unto you that you love. Now, let me pause. That word love in the Hebrew is the word ahav. Ah being a form of Abba. Hav means love revealed. So it's actually the Father revealed. This love is love that reveals what the Father's really like. So you could say it this way, and I wrote that in there so you could kind of get the idea. A new commandment, Jesus says, I give to you, that you reveal the Father to one another as I have revealed the Father to you. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, He said. And by this, all men will know you're my disciples. If you reveal the Father to one another, you show them what the Father's really like. God is love. Unstoppable. And this love is a mighty force, power, that casts out all fear. I've dealt with fear most of my life. I was talking to my wife the other day and just recalling, even as a child, I had fear. Unusual fears. And I believe fear is the root of almost every attack of the enemy. I think the root of it is fear. You may not see the root, but the root of it is fear. He's trying to get you to be fearful. I ask you a question, don't answer out quick, okay? Stop and think about it. What is the opposite of love? Most people say anger or hate. No, it's fear. The opposite of love is fear. Why? because perfect love casts out fear. Fear is the root of hate. Fear is the root of anger. Fear is the root of all sin, because we're afraid that God's not telling us the truth, maybe, like in the Garden of Eden. Anyway, I don't need to get into all that. Fear manifests itself in a lot of ways. Worry. Anybody worry? Don't raise your hand. That's the root of that's fear. Anybody in a hurry? Anybody speed? You know, the Lord told me something the other day. In my heart, he said to me, when you speed, it's like you told me I could lead you. You told me I could drive, but you've taken back the wheel and say, God, you're going too slow. That's, I mean, in a humorous way, the Lord impressed that upon my heart. So I purposely now try to, every once in a while, I speed without even knowing I'm speeding. It's a habit. Hurry is a habit. Hurry is a form of fear. That's another whole message. God help us. The devil tries to use fear to get you out of the love walk. If you're walking in love, that means you're letting God lead you. You will not speed. I could have an altar call right now. Everybody ought to be up here. I'd have to lead the way. Yeah. But it's true. You stop and think about it. At the smallest level, hurry is nothing more than fear. I'm afraid I'm going to be late. Well, if you're going to be late, you're going to be late. So what? I was late. But fear is taking back control when you start to speed or hurry. I'm trying to eliminate hurry from my life because hurry is a form of fear. Hurry, worry. I made a list the other day. I'm going to be very personal with you. I made a list of some of the things I fear as I was preparing this message. And I wrote down, I fear premature death. My dad died at 48 of a heart attack. When I got 48, I thought I was going to die because he did. And that was just the enemy lying to me. I fear I'm going to die a premature death, not be able to provide for my wife financially. I have fear that my son, who is an addict, is not going to get any better. He's going to live like this the rest of his life. I've feared the church is going to break up and split up like it has before. Not this one. But people, you know how fickle people are. You know how fickle pastors are. I feared a lot of things. And I had a whole list of things. That's just some of them. And then God's talking to me about fear. He says, fear is a denial that I'm with you. What more do you need? You think money in the bank's going to solve your problem? You could have all the money in the world. If you didn't have me, what good would that do you? So if you did die all of a sudden, boom, of a heart attack, and left Pam, don't you think I can take care of her? You don't think I know about your son? You don't think I know how to heal him? You don't think I'm doing anything about it? And I backed down off of that. I said, God, I see fear is a wrong perspective. Fear is believing that God's not with you. He doesn't know everything, and he's not going to help you. So I backed down off of that pretty quick, and God helped me for that. And I realized God loves me. God loves me. loves me. I mean, he really loves me. If he didn't love me, he wouldn't have put up with me. I'm telling you, he would have dumped me a long time ago. Isaiah 43, I got to show you something. And Alice Beecraft's recovering. She's home. And I hope you're watching, Alice, because I picked this up from you when you said the Lord told you as you're going to go through this unexpected surgery that you had to deal with. And he gave you this scripture. And this came back to me for this message as well. God is speaking here. This is his word. And this is what he says to all of us. Do not be afraid. He wouldn't tell you not to be afraid unless you had something to be afraid of. So he said, don't be. For I have ransomed you. I have redeemed you. Look at that banner right over there on that wall. It says Redeemer. These four banners, two here and two here, are the first banners we had in the upper room when the Lord started this church almost 20 years ago. These are things that he was telling us. I am your Redeemer. I am your Deliverer. I am your Healer. I am your Defender. Not you. And so it's reemphasized. But notice this scripture. Do not be afraid, God's speaking. I have ransomed you. I've redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine, child. Now notice this. When you go, say it. Oh, then you are going to go through some deep waters. The deep waters is it? I can't touch the bottom, Lord. I know, I know, I know. I know. But you're going to go through it.
Amen.
I will be with you. Did God say that? And when you go through, everybody say through, the rivers, they're not going to overflow you. When you walk the fire, it ain't even going to burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are not your Savior. Your bank account is not your Savior. Your IRA is not your Savior. Your health insurance, your doctor is not your Savior. Your financial advisor is not your Savior. Your husband is not your Savior. Your wife is not your Savior. Your parents are not your Savior. There is only one Savior. Who is your Savior?
Jesus.
And what are you afraid of? Then what are you afraid of? I'm talking to myself now in the mirror like this. I looked at myself in the mirror, had a good talk with myself. I do that. I do. It's spiritual to talk to yourself. I looked in the mirror and I talked to myself. I pointed myself in that mirror. I said, what are you afraid of? You either believe or you don't. Now, which is it? What's it going to be? Believers believe. And you quit your whining. You quit your crying. You quit your depression. You quit your complaining. Who do you think you are? Talking to me. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I won't do it anymore. And I repented. Mirror is a good place to repent. I did that. I actually did it. I'd encourage you to do that. Here is how love is perfected. Go back to Isaiah 43. I'm almost done. Love is perfected. Remember, matured. Maturing. By going through deep waters. And discovering God's will. Thing I was afraid of, God is with me. And when you go through the rivers, God is with me. And you go through the fire, God is really with me. It's when you go through stuff that you mature that your love matures and you realize he's promised and he's true to, he's faithful. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He provides grace for me. He provides mercy new every morning. I'm amazed at his love. Amen. Actually, when you go through these things, you come out better. And you realize the great love that God has for you. And you love him more. The more I know him, the more I love him. The more I love him, the more I trust him. The more I trust him, the more I relax. Why didn't I know this 40 years ago? I'm a slow learner. Dumb as a rock sometimes. Later on, I'm going to tell you, mark it down and we'll put it up on the screen. Don't do it now. We don't have time. Later on, read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Read it out of the New American Standard Version. Just write that down. Look at it later. It talks about necessary trials. There are some things that we go through here in this life that God says it's really necessary that you go through it. God could stop it. God could keep it from happening. God could have you walk around it. But instead, he wants you to go through it. It's a necessary for your faith trial. It is a necessary thing. And if God says it's necessary, then it's necessary for you to mature, for you to grow. And every trial that I've ever gone through in my life has been a necessary trial. Even the ones I've caused myself. And so are yours. And that's why God's such a redeemer. He can take even the bad things that you caused in your life and turn it around and make good come out of it. He's a genius at that. So when you got to go through stuff because God says it's really a necessary trial, and fear is going to attack you. Fear is a spirit. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Fear is a spirit that attacks us. Anybody know anything about that besides me? Fear attacks you. Usually when you're vulnerable, not when you're strong. What is our part? Our part is James 4:7. Submit yourself to God. Am I submitted to you, God? Do I trust you? Do I love you? Do I really believe the love you have for me? You'll never leave me nor forsake me. Submit yourself to God. Then resist the devil. Resist him. That's an active thing you've got to do. And he'll flee. Jesus had to resist the devil. The devil came and tempted Jesus, spoke words, spoke scripture to him. And Jesus had to resist him with the word. He had to speak back to the devil. Yes. Not in a conversation.
That's right.
Don't get in a conversation with the devil. But resist him with the word of God. I resist that spirit of fear trying to come upon me, even something like that. I resist you in the name of Jesus. Just speak it out loud. That's something you have to do. Fear often comes to you in the middle of the night. Because you're vulnerable. It's when you're trying to sleep. Let me land a plane, which means absolutely nothing. 1 John 4:17. As he is, Jesus, so are we in this world. That's God's goal. I want you to walk through this troubled world filled with all kinds of turmoil and trouble and hatred. I want you to walk through this world as I did and as I am. Because as I was on the earth, I am in you right now. You have the power. You have my spirit. You have my nature. You can walk through this world. And as he is, so are we to be in this world right now. You know that when the word Christian was a name that was given by pagans, the world that didn't believe in Jesus. When they started watching those people who were followers of the way, that's what it was called, of Jesus, they started calling them a name. Christians. They called them Christians because they acted like, they walked like, and they talked like Christ did. They put the two together. There's those Christians. They lived and acted like Jesus did. 365 times, at least in the Bible, God tells his people, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear, because fear brings torment, and the torment is coming from the devil. Do not fear anything. You say, well, that's impossible. Some of you will say in your mind, I don't think you ever get rid of all fear while you're here on earth. Let me tell you something. Don't settle for that lie.
Amen.
Don't settle. The devil will try to get you to settle. Yeah, that's right. That sounds right. Nobody ever really gets rid of all their fear. Well, maybe not all at once, but you're in a journey to get rid of fear. You don't fear probably monsters being under your bed that you did when you were 4 years old. If you do, we need to talk. They're not there. You matured. And you got rid of that fear. 365 times. Here's some of my favorite. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, be not discouraged, for I am with you. I am with you. Don't be afraid, Charlie. Don't be afraid of anything. Psalm 43:2, we looked at, when you pass through the waters, don't be afraid. I'm with you. And one of my favorites, Psalm 46, you ought to read the whole psalm. God is a very present help in time of trouble. And then he says, we, is a strong statement. We will not fear, not we will try not to fear. We will not fear. Though the mountains be cast into the sea, though the earth be removed, though the economy collapses, though the government is destroyed. And then finally, right in the middle of that, he says, now take a selah. Take a moment where you stop and really, really think about this. Be still and know that I am God. Not your government, not your health care, not your money. Not I am God. I know what's going on. You be still, child. And then David said this in Psalm 23. I will fear no evil. Not I will try not to fear, for thou art with me. Now, either this is there for us to take in and ingest and digest and become this, or it's just a bunch of bunk and we can all go home and forget about it. It's there for us to ingest. You are what you eat. I should be a pizza by now. But you are what you eat. If you eat the Word of God, you'll begin to manifest the Word of God. If you eat the news every night and you consume more of the news than you do the Word, then you're going to become the news. Oh, you know what's going to happen next? You know they're going to destroy this. You know this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Well, Preacher White, you said anything about the Ukraine and the war and stuff going over there? Because God's got that, and he ain't told me to be concerned about it.
Amen.
Psalm 46, if you'll read it, he says he causes wars to cease. So I say, okay, God, I believe you're causing this war to shut down in your time. Maybe a necessary trial for some people, but you're causing it to shut down. You got this. Right in the middle of Psalm 46, when all the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Right there in the middle of it. He said, I cause the wars to cease. I know all about it.
Yeah.
1 John 4:18, whoever fears is not perfected in love. That got me. That got me. My journal, March the 9th, my talking with God in the morning, I said to the Lord, thank you, honey. I told God some of my fears, some other fears that we talked about. And he said to me, the fear of man brings a snare. Be careful. And I asked God, I said, why am I still holding on to fears instead of putting it into your hands? Why do I do that? I'm still too concerned about me, God. And this is what I believe the Spirit of the Lord said to me. I wrote it in red. This is what the Lord said to me. He said, I am addressing this issue in you. It is deeper than you can know. It is a deep-rooted fear that you are not in control or will not know what to do or be able to do anything about it. You fear not being able to stop bad things from happening. This translates into your future that you cannot control. You know, wanting more money, more life insurance, physical health, strength, all this stuff, the ability to stop evil. You fear so many things. He said this to me, and I'm confessing it to you. You are not free. He said to me. But then he gave me this hope. But you will be. Hallelujah. If he'd have left me there, I'd have been in despair. He said, you will be soon. Trust me. I am your deliverer. I saw this in my mind. I am your redeemer. I am your healer. I am your defender. This is what I planned for you from the beginning, to reveal myself to you. These are the four pillars of revelation that I gave you personally to experience so you could preach, write, and teach from. That's why they're still hanging up here. My revelation of myself to you personally, that he's my redeemer, he's my deliverer, he's my healer, he's my defender. That through you, this revelation will be given to many others. And then he said some other things that I won't go into right now. God's goal then is this. I must decrease. He must increase. Same thing he said to John. I'm okay with that now. In fact, I welcome it. Thank you, God. And I saw this scripture just popped out at me this week. I said, I got to share this, God. Zephaniah 3:17. This is God's goal for us. The Lord, your God, is in the midst, a mighty one who will save. He will quiet you with his love. Now, child, don't be afraid. I'm right here with you. You have nothing to fear. I'll walk you through it. You may have to go through some things, but don't be afraid. I'm with you. What else do you need? He'll quiet you with his what? That's why you got to get rooted and grounded in this. That's why you got to get persuaded like Paul that I know that nothing in hell, on earth, or wherever can ever separate me from the love of God. I got to get fully persuaded, man. I've got to grow in love. I've got to get perfected in love because perfect love or mature love casts out all fear. There's no fear in love. If I still have fear, I'm not perfected in love. Are you understanding? Tony Defoe was a dear friend. We've known each other for 150 years. Had vacations together, did a lot of wonderful things. When Tony was first faced with most of his intestines being taken out. He still had hope that medically they could do something and something was going to be done, maybe transplant, all this incredible stuff that medical people can do. And he was still had a great sense of humor about it. I'll never forget his words to Joan one day when she came into hospital and said, "Tony, you're the bravest man I've ever met in my life. After all these doctors have done all the surgery, after you've been poked and stabbed and tested and hurt with so many things and had your intestines removed, and you're the bravest man I've ever met." It was meant to be a delicate moment. And she looked him in the eyes and he looked back at her so serious. And he said, "Well, Joan, that can't be true." She said, "What?" She said, "To be brave, you got to have guts. I don't have any guts." When she told me that, I cracked. Oh, that's Tony. That is so funny. But later on, he was told by a doctor, "Well, Tony, really, you're not a candidate for a transplant. There really is nothing else we can do. Tony, you're going to die probably within a few weeks." And Tony's response was human. He said, "I'm not ready. I'm not ready." That was fear. "I'm not ready." But then he said, "But I guess I better get ready. I guess I better get ready." And a couple of weeks later, he said to us, looked at us in the face and said, "I have no fear. I'm telling you, I have zero. I have zero." He said, "Zero. I have zero. I have no fear." What happened? In a quick amount of time, God's love matured Tony very quickly. So that on his exit, he had no fear. Perfect love cast out all fear. There's none, none. None. Zero. And we witnessed that. We saw that with our own eyes. Let's not wait till we die. Let's get it now. Let's get to that point where all the fears that I'm still dealing with, I'm not there yet. I bring them to God and I reason with Him. How foolish it is for me to be afraid of things I cannot control. And bring it to His feet. And ask God, perfect me in love. Whatever that may mean, God. I may have to go through the waters. I may have to go through the storms. I may have to go through the fire. Whatever it is, that's okay. As long as you are with me, I have nothing to fear. There may be necessary trials. That's okay. Perfect me. Mature me. Amen. In your love. And that only happens with your cooperation. God doesn't make it happen. He doesn't force it to happen on you. You resist fear by James 4:7. Submit yourself to God. When you're confronted with a fear you know that you're still dealing with, you're wrestling with, bring it to God and say, "God, here, I am bringing, here, I'm still dealing with this. I submit myself to you. This is it. This is what I've been afraid of. That's what I've been afraid of most of my life. Here it is, God." Fear of death, a fear of dying with a disease, a fear of pain, a suffering, fear of doing without. What? Here it is, God. I give this. I submit myself to you. I can't get this out of me. I submit myself to you. And I'll resist it. That's my part. when the thoughts come to me, I'll quote your word back. I'll quote Psalm 43 if I have to. I'll quote Psalm 41. I mean, Isaiah 41, Isaiah 4. I'll quote Psalm 23. I'll say those things out loud. But fill me, God, fill me with your spirit. Fill me with perfect love that will cast out, forcefully drive out, push out, move out of my soul all fear. That's what your love does. I can't do that, but your love in me will force it out, will cast it out, violently throw it out. God, that's what I need you to do. And if you'll do that, I believe God's no respecter of persons. He'll do the same thing for you and me that he did for Tony. Perfect love cast out all fear. That's where we're going. And he quiets us with his love. I've been with many people who had their last breath on this earth. I've had the privilege. Those who were believers, there was no fear. At the last, there was no fear. There was peace. There was calm. It's like God coming in and he quieted them with their love. Hush, child. Hush, child. It's going to be okay. And then God gently ushered them out of their body and into his glory. Woo! Wow. But right now, he's got some work in us, and we've got to cooperate. I want to be persuaded. No death, no angel, no principality, no powers of darkness, no famine, nakedness, sword, persecution ever separate me from the love of God. I got to be persuaded. God wants you and I to become fearless. Don't believe the lie of the devil. Well, you never get rid of all your fears. Why would you believe the devil anyway? He's a liar. You going to settle for that when God says perfect love cast out all fear? Not 99%, but all. So you just got to get perfected, mature in love. Let's stand to your feet. Thank you for being patient with me this morning, listening. Altar workers, would you come up and be ready to minister to people as we do every week here? Bow your head for a moment and think about one thing that you believe God spoke to your heart today. Just bow your head. Before any music is played, before anything happens, think about one thing that you believe that God talked to you about today. Just one thing. Now, I want to urge you to do something. Look at me now. Look at me now. Urge you to do this. Take that one thing that you remember right now and either sit down where you are and think about it and talk to God about it for a few minutes before you get busy, before you leave, before you talk to anybody else, or come up here and ask people to pray with you if you need that, or just come up here to the altar and kneel down somewhere and be alone with God and just talk to him about it and see if he has anything else he wants to say to you about that. Take that one thing, that one little nugget, talk to God about it. God, do you have any guidance for me today? Do you have anything else you want to say? Listen. If you don't get anything, thank you. Get up and go on your way. But before you rush out, before you get busy with fellowship, think about what God has just said to you today. Don't lose it. Okay? So I'm going to pray, and after I pray, you just move around, sit down, do whatever you need to do here. Father, thank you. Thank you for speaking through me, speaking to me, then speaking through me. I'm honored. It is my privilege that you would somehow use me and knowing all about me, and you'd use me anyway. I stand amazed. Now I pray that you'll take what you spoke and expressed through me, the words, your word, and help people to apply it to their life. And not forget it. Don't let the enemy be able to come in and steal it away from their minds. Show them how to apply it. Lead us into perfect love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, come if you need prayer. If you want to play a little music up there, that'd be great. Just talk to God about what you've just heard. And if you need to go, God bless you. Thanks for being here today. Come back Wednesday night. I got more to share about this. Amen.